This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, November 17th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Halley. Here's today's headlines. CPUC cuts on farm solar credits, approves PG&E rate hike. CARB cuts the cord on electric tractor vouchers, and Vilsack weighs in on farm bill funding. Now, here's a note from the editor. Daybreak West is on break next week, and we'll be back on Monday, November 27th. CPUC cuts ag solar benefits and approves PG&E rate hike. After mulling the decision all year, the California Public Utilities Commission voted to end a program that has incentivized thousands of operations to invest in on-farm solar generation. Several farmers and ranchers pleaded with the CPUC to keep the program, yet commissioners backed staff and utility claims that the program shifts ag's energy costs to residential customers, despite farm advocates finding no such evidence. CPUC President Alice Reynolds urged farmers to find incentives elsewhere, but the programs she suggested have suffered recent funding setbacks or offer technology still in the pilot phase. She added that Ag's net energy metering program was designed to ramp down as the technology scaled up. Reynolds also asserted that rooftop solar is an expensive way to produce electricity. Rate hike? Well, Commissioner John Reynolds shepherded a new PG&E rate hike that will deliver about a 10% bump for customers this year, that along with double-digit hikes each year through 2026. PG&E had initially requested to boost rates about 26%. Reynolds called it the largest rate case in any commission has ever faced. It will cover the cost of undergrounding more than 1,000 miles of power lines to prevent wildfires. He acknowledged it will be hard to face for the consumers who will pay for those increases. Others echoed the concern. Commissioner Darcy Houck warned that rates, quote, will become unaffordable in the very near future if we don't find mechanisms to better control cost. By the way, John Reynolds clarified that ratepayers do not directly pay for executive compensation. PG&E CEO makes twice that of any other utility executive. CARB shrinks vouchers for electric tractors. Monarch, the maker of autonomous electric tractors, was disappointed with a decision by the Air Resources Board yesterday. CARB approved $624 million in ZEV incentives, yet the decision reflected a 65% funding cut for CORE, the Clean Off-Road Equipment Voucher Incentive Project. A Monarch representative told the board that CORE has been undeniably successful and oversubscribed each year that agriculture has been a category, but trimmed it down $14 million jeopardizes that accelerated adoption. More than half of the vouchers have gone to disadvantaged communities and nearly 90% to small businesses. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision, Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Vilsack, funding issues dog farm bill. Congress has another year to agree on a new farm bill, but Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack warns that the process will stay bogged down until lawmakers find a source of money outside the bill or the Inflation Reduction Act funding that Republicans would like to dip into. Speaking to members of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting yesterday in Kansas City, Vilsack reiterated his suggestion that lawmakers could use the Commodity Credit Corporation, USDA's $30 billion line of credit, to supplement the farm bill. So what's the reluctance of using that asset that's available and is designed precisely to help farmers get through difficult times? Until they come to that realization, I think we're going to be waiting for a while for this farm bill, the secretary said. He did not elaborate on how he thinks the CCC could be used. But at the request of the Senate Ag Committee, the USDA has already tapped the CCC to create a new $1.3 billion trade promotion program that will supplement the Farm Bill's trade title. By the way, USDA posted a rule for operating that trade promotion initiative yesterday, but commodity groups are still waiting to find out the funding timeline and the countries that will be targeted. USDA also unveiled plans for trade missions next year to Vietnam, India, South Korea, Canada, Colombia, and Morocco. USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs Alexis Taylor recently returned from Malaysia and Singapore, where she led the USDA's final trade mission of the year. Lawmakers push EPA to allow chlorpyrifos use. A group of 51 senators and House members are urging EPA to move quickly to implement a recent appeals court decision on chlorpyrifos. On November 2nd, the Eighth Circuit vacated the EPA 2021 decision to revoke food tolerances for the insecticide. The court has spoken, and consistent with its decision, we believe farmers should have access to this critical tool for the 24 growing season, the lawmakers say in a letter to EPA Administrator Michael Regan. It'll be sent today. EPA should follow the court's ruling and immediately allow safe uses of chlorpyrifos. The letter was led by Representative Mark Alford of Missouri and Senators Kevin Cramer and Roger Marshall. The take from the EPA? Well, the EPA Office of Pesticide Programs Director Ed Messina said at a federal advisory committee meeting Wednesday that the agency is digesting the court's decision. We will provide guidance, he said, but added that currently all the registration cancellations remain in place. We haven't taken any action to change that course, Messina said. The court has yet to issue its mandate in the case, which Messina noted is part of the normal process for appellate decisions. First, the decision comes out, and then the court's mandate, meaning it is a live order. EPA advisors to give focus to farm workers. A federal advisory committee has formed a panel to focus how farm worker experiences can inform EPA regulation of pesticides. Summarizing the group's charge questions, EPA's Messina said it would consider how, quote, farm worker perspectives and experience can shape the design of regulatory requirements and help EPA follow through on regulations such as the Worker Protection Standard. The work group will include Millie Trevino Sauceda, Alianza Nacional de Campesinas, Nathan Donnelly of the Center for Biological Diversity, and Becca Berkeley of the Community Engaged Teaching and Research Program at Northeastern University. Other members are Myra Ryder of Farm Worker Justice, Alexis Timken of Environmental Working Group, Joseph Zavak of the Department of Family and Child Services at Florida State University, and Walter Alacron of the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. Well, here's today's He Said It. It's very important that we do that first. That CARB board member, Gideon Kaprov, applauding $80 million in grants to support ZEV drayage trucks as the new agency mandates hit California's ports in January. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, November 17th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.